Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 97. In our last study, we saw how David was stunned by the death of Uzzah as they were transporting the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem. And he was so afraid that he had them turn aside the Ark into the house of Obed-Edom, and there it remained for 3 months until he could take some time and see what went wrong. Why was God displeased to the point of striking dead one of the sons of Abinadab? Well, we find the answer of the problem in transporting the ark and why God struck Uzzah dead, or as it was said, brought a breach upon Uzzah, in 1 Chronicles 13 and into chapter 15. It says in 1 Chronicles 13, beginning in verse 9, "And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased, because Jehovah had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And Jehovah blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." Now, after this three-month period, David hears the report of God's blessing upon Obed-Edom's house, and a decision is made to once again transport the ark. And we read about this in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And I'll read here the first three verses, and then we'll skip further down, and we'll see why the breach was made upon Uzzah, or God struck him dead, and the correction that was made by David in the plans to carry forth the ark to Jerusalem. In verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 15, it says, "And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath Jehovah chosen to carry the ark of God, and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of Jehovah unto his place, which he had prepared for it." Now there we find the significant statement, as David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. And he said this because there are several verses in the Old Testament. One we find in Deuteronomy chapter 10 that say this. In Deuteronomy 10 verse 8, "At that time Jehovah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of Jehovah." And whenever the ark was moved, it was the Levites, or the priests, who also were of the tribe of Levi, that carried the ark. It was never just anybody of any of the tribes, and it always had to be a Levite. So the sons of Abinadab, Uzzah, and Ahio were not Levites. And even though they certainly meant well, when the ark stumbled and the cart shook, and Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the cart so the ark would not fall off the cart, the error was that he was not a Levite. He should not have been involved in attempting to carry the ark at all to begin with. It was a mistake in who was doing the transporting. Now, it goes on to say in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 12, and a few verses following, "And said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of Jehovah God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, Jehovah our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of Jehovah God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of Jehovah. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding, by lifting up the voice with joy. And they began their march to Jerusalem, and all went well, because now the carrying of the ark was according to the due order." What is the due order? It is that which is in accordance with the law of God, with the word of God, the Bible. That is always the due order of things. And when the original carrying of the ark was interrupted by the stumbling of the oxen and the death of Uzzah, because he put forth his hand, it was a result of not following the due order, or it was a result of transgressing the law of God. It was sinful. It was against the commandment of God, the breaking of his law, and the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, sin is the transgression of the law, is death. And God is a perfect God and a holy God, and everything must be done according to the due order of things, according to his perfect will, which we find in the Bible. So as we see that the Philistines have decided to return the ark, they have admitted their transgression in taking it to themselves, we can see once again just how horribly wicked it was of them to take the ark by force, and they did transport it to their city, into the temple of Dagon. And what happened? Well, then Dagon was fallen down before the ark, and plagues began in that city, and people began to die. They once again transported the ark to the next city. Well, it went to Ashdod, then to Gath, and more people died. The Philistines once again transported the ark to Ekron, and more emrods, more plagues, more death. Things were not done according to the due order. They were not in any way following the commandments of God concerning the ark of God. And that ark typifies the word of God. And the word of God is a two-edged sword. It's able to bring life, and it's able to bring death, to cut to judgment. And when God brought his judgment upon the churches and congregations, it was the word of God that was judging them, plaguing them, pronouncing death to those within the churches that would remain there stubbornly, refusing to hearken to God's command to come out of the church. And so we find this is the nature of God's judgment upon the churches and congregations. It was a horrible plague, a spiritual plague that came upon them. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel 6, and we're going to read verse 9, where it says, "And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he has not done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. So the Philistines developed this plan in which they could once and for all determine if it was the hand of the God of Israel or if it was a chance. And in developing this plan, they did not have any men involved in the transportation of the Ark of the Testimony. It was just placed on a new cart. The two milch kine were tied to the cart, and then, well, let God do with it what he will. If they take the cart, if the two milch kine carry the cart to Beth Shemesh in the land of Israel, then it was God. He was plaguing them for their trespass in taking the ark to themselves and capturing it. If not, if the milch kine return to their calves, return home into the land of the Philistines, it wasn't the God of Israel. It was just a chance. Well, they had their answer, because the two cows did not return home to their young. They went by the way of their own coast, or the ark's own coast. They're referring really to God, as God is identified with Israel, to Beth Shemesh. And let's read in verse 10, "And the men did so, and took two milch kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of Jehovah upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of their emrods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart, and offered the kine a burnt offering unto Jehovah. And the Levites took down the ark of Jehovah and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto Jehovah. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day." So the lords of the Philistines had their answer. They now knew that the God of Israel was the one who was bringing the plagues upon them. Of course, they had known that already. This was just reinforcing that fact. And so the ark now is in the land of Israel. And we wonder, how are we to understand this spiritually? Because the 7 months in the land of the Philistines, the 7 months in which Shiloh was an empty shell without the Ark of God, typifying God's presence with Israel, so Israel was an empty shell. We understand that is representing the Great Tribulation period. But now it's the end of the 7 months, and the Ark is returning to Israel. And we wonder, well, what does this mean spiritually? Does this mean that at the end of the Great Tribulation, God returns to the church? No, that's not possible. It can't mean that. It has to mean something else. And we'll try. This is a very difficult language. And it could be that God is just finished with this particular spiritual picture and moves on to something else. But we'll try to see, by going over some of the details here, if we can understand what God is teaching by having the ark return to Beth Shemesh. And why does the Lord emphasize that name so much? It's mentioned 7 times in this chapter, 1 Samuel 6. 2 other times, the name Beth Shemite, the Joshua of Beth Shemite, is also mentioned. And so there's a strong emphasis upon this Israelite town of Beth Shemesh, this city. And why is that? Well, Beth Shemesh, when we look at the name itself, is a compound word. It's made up of two Hebrew words, and it literally means house of the sun. And it's a name that was given to a few different towns or cities within Israel. At least three different tribes had a city called Beth Shemesh. The one here in 1 Samuel 6, we would understand to be in the tribe of Judah. Also, Beth Shemesh is found in another nation, and we'll take a look at that verse a little later. So it was a fairly common name for a town, and we can understand that, house of the sun, given the climate of that area. Well, let's look at a place where Beth Shemesh is found in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 18. And we'll see how this does tell us that this city in view here is in Judah. It says there, the Philistines also had invaded the cities of the Low Country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gedereth and Shoko with the villages thereof. And then the verse continues. But we see here that Beth Shemesh is in the south of Judah, close to the land of the Philistines. And certainly by what we read in 1 Samuel 6, Beth Shemesh was on the border with the Philistine country. That's why the ark was loaded onto the new cart carried by the milch kine, and the impression, as we read, is that it didn't have to travel too far. They just went by the coast and entered into the way and into the land of Israel, into the town of Beth Shemesh. So there is very little doubt that what the place we're reading about is in Judah. Now, let's go to Jeremiah 43, and we'll find a Beth Shemesh, a town that's mentioned, that's in Egypt. It says in verse 12, "And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment. And he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire." Now here, this Beth Shemesh is said to be in the land of Egypt, and normally we find, since there are several different towns with the same name, that God normally, at least in all the cases I've seen, gives some sort of identifying information to help us know which one he's talking about. And we saw in 2 Chronicles 28:18 that it was identified in Judah. And here, this Beth Shemesh is in the land of Egypt. So it's a different town in a different nation. And we're not surprised to read that Egypt had a town by this name, and that this particular town had images, the images of Beth Shemesh. And the verse also speaks about the houses of the gods of the Egyptians being burnt with fire. And that's understandable, because one of the Egyptian gods was a sun god. And Beth Shemesh means house of the sun. That's why when God brought the plagues upon Egypt, that he devised those plagues in a particular way to show the Lord's power over the gods of Egypt. And therefore, when the sun was darkened in the land of Egypt to the point where the darkness could be felt, that was a judgment upon the sun god that the Egyptians worshipped. And so Beth Shemesh in the verse in Jeremiah 43 is a place that's identified with idol worship. Now, Beth Shemesh that we're reading of in 1 Samuel 6, at first we think, well, all is well, because it says in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 6, and they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. All is well. The ark has come home. The people of this town are rejoicing. They're glad to see the ark of God. Then in verse 14, the cart came into the field of Joshua, Beth-Shemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kind of burnt offering unto Jehovah. And the Levites took down the ark of Jehovah and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto Jehovah. Again, this all sounds outstanding. It all appears to be in accord with God's law. These men of Beth Shemesh are doing things appropriately. They're doing things well. They sacrifice the kine that brought the ark. They offer up their own sacrifices. They have the Levites take down the ark of Jehovah. As we read earlier, it was the Levites that were to handle the ark and no one else. These people are acting very wisely. Everything seems well. Could it be at the end of the Great Tribulation, the ark or the presence of God returns to his people and they welcome him back with open arms, that they receive the Spirit of God into the congregations once again, and now they're wisely dealing in relationship to God and the Word of God? Again, no, that's not possible. That's not possible. And we'll see as we continue on in our study that even though the outward appearance of these men of Beth Shemesh and their initial actions toward the receiving of the ark in its homecoming to Israel, even though all that seems initially to be handled very well, we'll see that nothing's changed with these men of Israel. Nothing's changed with their arrogance and their disobedience to God and to that which is identified with God. Actually, they do something extremely foolish and extremely dangerous. And we'll have to look at that in the next couple of studies.